And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and southern Massachusetts since 1939. This small business treats you like family, truly a business with heart, supporting local organizations like WJMJ, giving back to the community, and offering customers personalized one-on-one attention with the human touch. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
Good evening. Yes, we're in the Afterglow, and I'm Father John. This is our time together to transition from the hectic to the relaxed, from perpetual motion to slow motion. So it's good to have hopes and dreams. It truly is. It's good to wake up each day believing and expecting. But don't wait for those things to come before you enjoy your life and find happiness. This is the day the Lord has made, not tomorrow, not when all your dreams come to pass, not when all the negative people are changed, but today. So, right now, we unwind after a very busy work day where those of us who work inside longed for the opportunity to smell the sweet scents of spring in the great outdoors. I know, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's not spring quite yet, but soon. Patience is the key. So now, with hope renewed, let's just enjoy the time that we have, get comfortable with some music and inspiration, and think optimistic thoughts right here in the Afterglow. Welcome to WJMJ in the Afterglow. Now that was Michael Gattell with music called River Run. And now we put away the cares and the complaints and pursue a bit of relaxing time to de-stress and unwind with some interesting music and reflective messages. Tell me, have you ever wondered where certain words come from or how they're formed? Do you know where the word boycott came from? Well, it actually came from a man named Charles Boycott. born on this day, March 12, 1832, in Norfolk, England. Boycott was an estate agent in Ireland and was asked by the Tenants' Land League to reduce rents back in 1880 due to the poor harvest and bad economy that year. Well, Boycott reduced the rents by 10%, but two of the tenants wanted a 25% reduction. He wrote a letter to the lord of the estate, who refused to lower the rent any further. Boycott issued demands for the outstanding rents and gave out eviction notices to 11 tenants. Charles Parnell, president of the National Land League, responded by cutting Charles Boycott off from all stores and services, even threatening his postman to stop delivering Boycott's mail. The term boycott was officially coined by Father John O'Malley in September of 1880 as another way of saying to ostracize or excommunicate. Boycott died at his home in Suffolk on June 19, 1897, at the age of 65, after a long battle with health issues. The story of Charles Boycott has inspired many fictional works, such as the 1946 romance novel Captain Boycott by Philip Rooney, which was later adapted into a film of the same name. And the subject most recently appeared in the 2012 novel Boycott, written by Colin C. Murphy. Charles Boycott, born on this day in 1832. Now, as we continue flipping through the pages of history, we see that in 1933, Americans everywhere gathered around their radio. But it was far from music to their ears. They were listening to the president give an address to Americans during a time of great turmoil in our country. It was Franklin Roosevelt's first year as president. The Depression had been around for 3 years, and a couple of weeks earlier, Americans wanted to earn a quick buck by taking out currency from the banks. The panic caused banks to have no money, so President Roosevelt responded by closing down banks for several weeks. He wanted to make the American public know there was a good reason why he was shutting down the banks.
The answer is simple, and I know you will understand it. Your government does not intend that the history of the past few years shall be repeated. We do not want and will not have another epidemic of bank failures.
The presidential address was dubbed a fireside chat, and it was a major success. FDR would do these fireside chats 30 times to promote his legislation and give the American people hope. President Roosevelt's idea influenced every president after him to do the same, but they would claim nowhere near the same popularity. Roosevelt's fireside chats began on this day 91 years ago.
As daybreak breaks, the mist upon the earth, it came to pass, the beauty settled there forevermore. And as the sea clings close to things to come, it came to pass, the solid rock did part for humble life. Once upon a time there was confusion, disappointment, fear, and disillusion. Now there's hope reborn with every morning. See the future clearly and it's dawning. Forever drifting slowly towards a hazy emptiness, whilst water slips into the sea, the father's side to see its free. As shadows creep towards the master light, it came to pass, the trees defied the wind, you shook their leaves. And as the peace descended all around, it came to pass that nature's creatures upon a time there was confusion, disappointment, fear, and disillusion. Now there's hope, we're born with every morning. See the future clearly and it's dawning. Forever drifting slowly towards a hazy emptiness, whilst water slips into the sea, the father sighed to see it's free. Once upon a time there was confusion, disappointment, fear and disillusion. Now there's hope, reborn with every morning. See the future clearly at its dawning. Once upon a time there was confusion, disappointment.
And that's Genesis with music called Fireside Song. What is stealing your joy? Take inventory of your life. What are you allowing to upset you? What's causing you to stress out all day? Identify what it is, and then make a decision to change your approach in that area. After all, being upset will not make the situation any better. Now, if someone is rude to you, being rude in return will only sour your day. If your plans don't work out, stay in peace. Instead of being upset, know that God is still directing your steps. He's still got you exactly where He wants you. So, come on, smile. Now, let's you and I journey together toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Wearing a smile can work wonders. I read once that the Holiday Inn hotel chain was looking to fill 500 new jobs, and they interviewed 5,000 people. They automatically disqualified any applicant who smiled less than 4 times during the interview. Another study on smiles found that seeing a friend's happy face has a greater impact on our moods than receiving a $5,000 raise. Did you know your smile is worth that much? After I read the results of that study, I went around the office smiling at the staff. "There's your raise," I said. Again, with a smile, I said, "And there's your raise, and there's your raise." Can you believe they told me that they preferred cash? Even so, smiles are workplace winners. This couple I know told me of the time that they were looking for a good babysitter. And they talked with a half dozen candidates. Some were very qualified with great referrals and strong credentials. They didn't hire any of them. Instead, they hired a 60-year-old woman without great referrals or an impressive resume. She simply was as warm and sunny as a spring morning. She had a great smile, and she flashed it throughout their interview. Would you believe it? They said that she was one of the best hires they ever made. Over the years, she filled their house with joy and laughter. She taught all of them a thing or two about the power of a smile. She taught them that a smile invites what it expresses: kindness, respect, friendliness, and caring. God gave us all a smile. So ask yourself, are you using yours? Is your joy being fully expressed? How much favor would you experience if you unleashed your full potential for happiness and joy? Now that's where faith meets life.
Save some face. You know you've only got one. Change your ways while you're young. Boy, one day you'll be a man. Girl, he'll help you understand. Smile like you mean it. Smile like you mean it. Looking back at sunsets on the east side. Track of the time.
Someone is calling my name from the back of the restaurant. And someone is playing a game in the house that I grew up in. And someone will drive her around down the same streets that I did. On the same streets that I did.
A song called Smile Like You Mean It by Tally Hall. According to Billboard magazine, the song seems to deal with coming to terms with growing up and getting older. And aren't we all getting older? So along the way, why not smile like you mean it? Now today marks the... Well, who could that be?
Hi, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies?
Henrietta, aren't you a little old to be selling Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, you could never be too old to sell Girl Scout cookies.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that the last year you can sell Girl Scout cookies is when you're 18. And those aren't cookies, those are crackers. You just wrote Girl Scout cookies on the box.
Come on, they're really good.
All right, I'll take one.
Just one.
Okay. Then give me two.
Just two? You look hungry.
Oh, you drive a hard bargain. Okay, I'll take three, and that's it.
Great. That'll be $50.
What? $50 for three boxes of crackers? All I have is $15.
That'll do. Yay! Thank you so much!
Now, Henrietta is long past the Girl Scouting age, but in reality... The Girl Scouts of America are celebrating their 112th anniversary today. The organization has helped so many young girls develop into mature, intelligent women with great leadership skills. It has grown to nearly 2.5 million Scouts today, and past members include Katie Couric and Lucille Ball. So, if a real Girl Scout comes to your door, make sure to buy some extra cookies, real cookies, not crackers, in honor of the 112th anniversary of the Girl Scouts of America. Now, today marks the birth anniversary of a writer who brought the beatnik culture into the mainstream. Jack Kerouac was born in Lowell, Massachusetts in 1922. As an aspiring writer, he lacked focus and direction, so he traveled the country looking for purpose and meaning. His adventures became the basis for his best-selling book, On the Road. The book became famous because it gave a representation of the counterculture known as the Beat Generation. Audiences were riveted with On the Road because it gave an inside look into the underground society by showing its carefree and exciting ideals, but at the same time its moral consequence and insecurities about the future. On the Road became an inspiration to many artists and writers such as Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, and Hunter S. Thompson. Jack Kerouac wrote many other famous books such as Dharma Burns and Big Sur, which were also loosely based on his travels. But he will forever be immortalized in On the Road, and that is why we remember Jack Kerouac tonight on his birth anniversary.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Down the highway, we're the best of friends, insisting that.
love is making music with my friend, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Guessed it, that was Willie Nelson with On the Road Again. And here in the Afterglow, we take time to think about things both around us and even beyond us. Things that entertain us and things that sustain us. It's story time now in the Afterglow. A farmer was on the road again, traveling along a country road. He came upon a young boy who was looking in dismay at a huge load of hay which had fallen from his wagon. The farmer had pity on the boy, and he said to him, "Young man, I'm on my way to lunch. Join me. After you have eaten and rested a bit, I'll return here with you, and together we'll get this load back on your wagon." The boy replied, "Oh, I don't think my dad would like me to do that." But the farmer's will finally prevailed, and the boy went off with him to lunch. 2 hours later, rested and refreshed, they returned to the wagon. As they began reloading the big pile of hay onto the wagon, the farmer expressed concern that the young lad had been burdened with the heavy responsibility of transporting this great load of hay. "Where's your father?" he asked the boy. The boy replied, "He's under the load of hay." There are times when many of us feel that the entire load has been dumped on us, and that everyone in the whole world has gone off to lunch somewhere. Something to think about.
I walk the maze of moments, but everywhere I turn to, begins a new beginning that never finds a finish. I walk to the horizon, and there I find another. It all seems so surprising.
Thank you. beginning, I might be near the end.
Interesting song by Enya with a provocative title called Anywhere Is. I walk the maze of moments, but everywhere I turn to begins a new beginning but never finds a finish. Yeah, I do feel like that sometimes, don't you? We're beginning new beginnings, but never quite finding the time to find the finish. So many irons in the fire. But we'll help you sort it all out and maintain your balance, always keeping an eye on proper perspective here in the Afterglow. This is our time of relaxation and meditation with music, inspiration, and reflection. Now, let's be optimistic. Spring is coming, and now that twilight has arrived and dusk has settled, we unwind and relax. So turn on the light, you'll see better. True humility is not thinking lowly of yourself, but thinking accurately of yourself. The humble heart does not say, I can't do anything, but rather, I can't do everything. I know my part, and I am happy to do it.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances up your hair, a million colors of hazel. Golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent. Who is the man who said to you, pick up your mat and walk around? There was a cartoon showing two little fat men dressed in Puritan costume, black clothes, white collars, and tall, tapering, flat-topped hats. They're just coming out of church, and one says to the other, it's a nice day. Let's go and stop somebody doing something. Well, it makes us laugh because we see them as a couple of wet blankets, but these two characters are control freaks as well as killjoys. They exercise arbitrary power over people's lives. This is how many people see religion and why they reject it. In today's gospel, we step into a busy scene. Among the noise and the bustle of the crowds visiting the temple are the sick, who gather under the shade of the building called Bethesda, which means House of Mercy. It was close to the pools of water, which were used in the temple. People believed that an angel disturbed the waters at intervals, and the first person into the water after that would be cured. When the water was disturbed, it would have been a mad rush, pushing, shoving, and cursing to get there first. The more helpless the person, the less likely of getting there. The man Jesus spoke to had no chance. Perhaps Jesus chose him to heal because he was the most vulnerable and had been ill for so long. It's hard to imagine that the religious leaders didn't know this man. Even if they didn't take much notice of the crowd of sick people, in the 38 years he had been ill, his presence must have registered on some of them. Besides, the buzz from the crowd would have let them know something special had happened. But the leaders weren't interested in sharing his joy. They didn't say, "Oh, thank God, how wonderful for you, you can walk again." No. They would have felt control slipping away from them, so they hid behind the law. Who told him to carry a mat on the Sabbath? They found it was Jesus. The cartoon characters turn more sinister. It's a nice day. Let's break his power before we lose ours. So what about us? Do we inspire and encourage Christian joy over someone else's good fortune? Or do we snuff out joy and hide behind legalism? And now on this Tuesday, the 12th day of March, in the fourth week of Lent, as the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, we reflect on God's nourishing and loving presence with us. So we close our time in the afterglow with prayer. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones, soothe your suffering ones, pity your afflicted ones, shield your joyous ones, and for all your love's sake, we pray,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Dear God, I thank you that you have saved me so that I don't have to live this life or my life in eternity without you. Thank you that you have redeemed my past and given me an eternal future with you forever. Anything I have done outside of your will or apart from your guidance, I confess as sin and ask you to forgive me and restore me to wholeness. Thank you for your everlasting kindness and mercy to me. Separate me from anything that would separate me from you. Restore to me all that has been lost in the days that I didn't live for you. Restore everything that evil has stolen from my life.
My burden is easy, my yoke is so light. If you need rest, come to me. You who are weary, you who are laden, give to me.
My heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me.
Truly I have set my soul in tranquility and silence, as a weaned child on its mother. As a weaned child is my soul within me.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Take up your cross and follow the way. The way of Jesus Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden light. Our resurrection song. Take up your cross and follow the way. The way of Jesus Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden. Take up your cross.
dead. Be not ashamed of the Son of Man, and He'll raise you from the dead. Take up your cross and follow the way. The way of Jesus Christ is your disease, His burden light.
Then the angel showed me the river of life, giving water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of its street. On either side of the river grew the tree of life that produces fruit 12 times a year, once each month. The leaves of the trees serve as medicine for the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will look upon His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Jesus is the healing water of life.
Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me.
Rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on His lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown the strength of His arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has come to the help of His servant Israel, for He has remembered His promise of mercy, the promise He made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jesus is the healing water of life. Redeeming God, You know our hearts. In hope, we pray.
Bless us, O God.
Heal those who are in treatment for cancer or other disease. In hope, we pray.
Bless us, O God.
Revive those who suffer physical or economic scars from the pandemic. In hope, we pray.
Bless us, O God.
Give unending life to those who die alone. In hope we pray.
Bless us, O God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
May God expand our hearts with loving kindness and lead us to live the joy of the gospel through Jesus, our peace. Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep.
From evil dreams defend our sight, from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe that we no sin thought may know.
My burden is easy, my yoke is so light. If you need rest, come to me. You who are weary, you who are laden, give to me your worry, your anguish, and I will set you free. I wait for you, Lord, in this space, to come sit by me, take your place. Teach me to come to your table, where I am able to receive your
offer a prayer, requesting the intercession of Blessed Michael J. McGivney, priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford and founder of the Knights of Columbus.
God, our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and the orphan, you called your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the Church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Blessed Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor I now present. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and the chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Lighten our darkness, and in your mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. Visit this home, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of evil. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace through the night, and may your blessing be always upon us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
My burden is easy, my yoke is so light. If you need rest, come to me. You who are weary, you who are laden, give to me your worry, your anguish, and I will set you free.
become hard as a stone. Crumble the fear that is mine, so I may find rest for my soul. My burden is easy, my yoke is so light. If you need rest, come to me.
The Lord Jesus Christ be with you to protect you. May he watch over you and keep you in his care through the night and bless you with peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Night Prayer in the Afterglow with Father John. Thanks for listening. In the Afterglow, a time of reflection and relaxation is underwritten in part by the people of Superior Energy of Vernon, Connecticut. Now in their 80th year, they offer personalized 5-star propane service to customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. For more information, call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com. Coming up is Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from the WFMT Radio Network. This is WJMJ at 88.9 in Hartford, 107.1 in New Haven. WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life, and where we're inviting you to be to enjoy an entire evening of relaxing music tailor-made for you.